Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it's great to have you in. What a glorious Thursday. It cooled down in Los Angeles yesterday. It was very nice, very hoodie weather. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy has 37 hoodies.
37? No. At least 100.
You have 100 hoodies?
At least. At very least.
I love hoodies.
Sneakers and hoodies make up for probably about 60% of my wardrobe.
I love hoodies. My sister's always like that. So you don't have a volume hoodie.
I don't.
From my podcast, the fascinating podcast network.
That's great. I don't have any merch, though.
I'll get you some merch. I know somebody there.
I have Herdburger merch.
I didn't even know he had Herdburger merch.
I have a t-shirt.
Greg Cosell is going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. So tonight, the Giants and Washington play, and Tom Brady was talking about yesterday about how good all the young quarterbacks are, how many young quarterbacks there are, and right now there's 9 quarterbacks that are starting in the NFL that are between years 1 and 3. But Daniel Jones is a really interesting one because I've said the industry trend for quarterbacks is they're better faster. I mean, like Mahomes, first year starting MVP. Lamar, first year starting MVP. So they're getting faster, getting better faster. And so, you know, it's quarterback coaches and all this stuff and college concepts in the NFL. So my expectations are you don't get 3-4 years. You do not. If I think you have a competent coach, and I think the Giants do in Joe Judge, I'm going to watch 35 starts. So right now, through 27 NFL starts, by Thanksgiving, I said before the season, by Thanksgiving with Daniel Jones, you'll have 36 starts. That's 2 years and then some. We're going to have discussions privately. So through 27 starts, entering tonight's game, he's 8-19. It's one of the boxes I want. Does he win enough? No. 62% completion percentage. He's not accurate enough. Turnovers, he's a disaster. 22 picks, 18 lost fumbles through 27 starts. And his passer rating is 84. So there's no it there. Like Sam Darnold, by the way, struggles with the first 3 so far. But Sam has an it. You can see the it. Well, he's a big kid and a playmaker. So we're going to give Sam this year. But I think similarly, by Thanksgiving with Sam Darnold, Carolina has a right to say, it's not a big contract. We're not paying a lot of money. We got to move on. So to me, and last week with Daniel Jones, once again, completion percentage, not great. 60% turnover, had another. Passer rating, okay. Nothing changed. So I think the industry, the quarterback industry, these kids are better and they're better sooner. I mean, you watch Justin Herbert. I mean, we were in the middle of last season with a bad offensive line, and we're like, oh, yeah, that he looks like a great veteran. He wasn't making kid mistakes. Josh Allen, early. I mean, Kyler Murray now. What are we to make of Kyler Murray? Just keep kidding. And he had 1 year starting in college. So when Daniel Jones came out, he was a number 6 pick. That was viewed, myself included, as a little bit of a reach. I had said at the time, I don't see a lot of special. I don't see the big arm. I don't see the great athlete. I don't, and he had a great college quarterback with David Cutcliffe, and I still didn't see it. So now Jason Garrett, the offensive coordinator, the Giants are very conservative. Big Blue's very conservative. They're all behind him. They love him. Here's Jason Garrett.
I think there are just so many positives about him. You know, start with who he is as a person, his approach, his competitive spirit, his smarts, his toughness, all of that. And then he has athletic ability. He's big. He can throw the ball. He can move around and make plays with his feet. I think we've all seen that. The biggest thing for him is just to play more football. And again, it's every quarterback I've ever been around. They need more experience. We need to create a really good environment. And they need to grow from the experience that they do have. But we believe Daniel can do that.
By the way, he's got a good head coach in the NFL, I believe. He had a very good college coach. He's grown up in this generation of Elite 11 quarterback coach. So I'm not waiting forever anymore. I'm not giving you 4 years. I'm not giving you 3 full years. I mean, if you listen to the Miami Dolphins and the trade rumors this offseason, they gave Tua 9 starts. That's it. He was 6-3. They were looking somewhere else. They didn't even name him captain. So you watch Daniel Jones tonight. You tell me what you see. We'll talk about it in the show tomorrow. You tell me what you see. But I think we're in a different time now. Quarterbacks are better. They get better coaching in high school. They have Elite 11 camps. They have the coaching, the quarterback coaching business now. It's a cottage industry. It's like a real industry. So I expect more. And with Daniel, he has not checked a box. The winning, the accuracy, the turnover issue, and the it. I'm rooting for him. This league is way better when the Giants matter. And we got good quarterbacks, so I'm rooting for him. But this is a real test. And I just saw, by the way, I just saw Justin Herbert against this same Washington team. And he took the game over late. Back shoulder throws, moving around. With that, I bring in Greg Cosell, 42 years NFL Films. Audience loves him everywhere I go. People love Greg Cosell. So let's talk about that. I said one of the more impressive wins of the weekend that we didn't talk about, it wasn't like a lead our show kind of game, was Herbert against that defensive front, new coach, new coordinator, new playbook, new O-line. And I watched that game and I'm like, boy, Herbert looks like he's been playing in this league for 7-8 years. I was really impressed. What did the film say?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And what stood out to me is how efficient he was. He's a big-armed kid, but he plays the game with efficiency. He drops back, hits the back foot, the ball comes out. He knows where to go with the football. You rarely see him stuck in the pocket, Colin. There's just an overall efficiency to his game. The term I always use is elimination and isolation. He knows how to eliminate what's not there, either before the snap or very quickly into his drop, and he isolates where to go with the football. And he's capable, of course, as we know, of big-time throws. You might have seen that big-time far hash hole shot throw he made to Mike Williams early in the second quarter. That's not the kind of throw that everybody can make. That's a special throw, and Herbert can make those, but he's also playing very, very efficiently, and I think that's really critical.
So I have to be honest, when Jalen Hurts was drafted in the second round, I thought it was a little bit of a reach. I did not know if he was a starting quarterback at Alabama. I thought he was more efficient running than throwing. He's an incredibly diligent, hardworking kid with a great story, and I watched week one, and my takeaway was, Mo, you can win some games with that. What did the film say on Jalen Hurts of the Eagles?
Well, I think what the Eagles coaching staff did was absolutely important. They really settled him into the game early. And don't forget, he was only making his fifth NFL start. They started the game with bubble screens, which are no-read throws. Then they went with an RPO, which is a one-read throw. Then they had a zone-read run. So they really got him comfortable early. And even though the game was close through much of the first half, they did not need to change anything they were doing. And even that touchdown that we just saw to Devonta Smith, that was a man-beater concept in a man-to-man down for the defense. So that was a throw. Essentially, he was throwing that ball to Devonta Smith. He was not reading progressions. So they did a really, really good job. And because their O-line dominated and their D-line dominated, the game stayed within Hurts' ability to play in a certain kind of way, which is good because – you don't want him really at this point in his career being in games where he's got to drop back, take deep seven-step drops, and progression read. He's not quite ready to do that against good defenses yet, but they really did a good job with him, and he played effectively. And one final point I make about the Eagles, Colin, 2 years ago, 2019, they were the slowest offense in the NFL. Right now, with the weapons they have, and they may, we'll find out if they're going to be great players, but just in terms of speed and explosiveness, they now have speed and explosiveness on the perimeter.
So, listen, the Rams went and got Matt Stafford, if you look at their draft and offseason, the Rams told you what they wanted to do. They wanted more Mahomes touchdowns. They could, you know, McVay can scheme it up for 9 plays, but in this league now, you got to get some cheapies. You got to get some freebies, and you didn't get it with Goff. It was so they went out and got, you know, this speedy wide receiver. They got DeSean Jackson, and they went and got a quarterback with a big arm. And I think we saw it in week one. And I had talked to Les Snead about this. He just like, you know, every drive can't be 12 plays. We can't play perfect football. One penalty or one sack, it's over. And I think that Rams, I mean, what did you see schematically? Was it that different, or was it just Stafford's got a big arm and made throws Goff couldn't?
No, I don't think it's different. I think when all said and done, what McVay wants as part of his offense is he wants the deeper play action concepts off of play action. That's what he wants. He wants what looks like boot, which that play was to Jefferson that we saw in the second play of the game. He wants deeper play action throws off those boot concepts. And Goff could not really give him those throws. As we see this, he boots left and throws. And by the way, did you see, Colin, how easily he threw that ball?
Yeah.
He threw that ball probably 65 yards in the air because that was across the field. So now it gives him the vertical dimension to the offense, which you didn't really have with Goff. Goff did not have a bad arm, but he does not have the arm Stafford has. And that's something McVay really wanted, was that vertical dimension. And that's why they have Deshaun, and that's why they drafted Tutu Atwell from Louisville.
So the Arizona Cardinals drafted a quarterback and decided it's not working. Roll the dice. Let's draft another one. They got Kyler Murray. And first year to the second, he absolutely improved before getting hurt. This weekend, he's remarkable. So is it just his athleticism? Is it the weapons they've gotten him? Or are you seeing an improved quarterback with better reads, a greater sense of pocket? What are you seeing with Kyler?
Well, I thought he threw the ball more accurately this week, and I think that's really an important part of his game. We know he's going to make those special plays. Those plays happen. Quarterbacks that can move around and have the athletic ability Murray has will make those plays. But I think that he did a better job of throwing the ball accurately. And that is important because he has not really been that guy. You know, because he's so special with his movement, Colin, there's always plays on the highlights that people get excited about. But his first 2 years in the league, quite honestly, and I'm speaking solely about tape study now, he's missed too many routine throws. And he did not in this game. And you saw them play in empty sets quite a bit. You saw them play with four wide receivers quite a bit. He was outstanding in empty sets, meaning there's no one in the backfield other than him. He was 8 for 8 for 104 yards out of empty sets. So that's something you'll see them do a lot. It spreads out the defense. And by the way, even if it's a called pass, but he sees a lane in an empty set because the defense is spread horizontally and vertically based on route concepts, then he'll run. And they'll be very, very comfortable with that. So I think they're learning what they can do. You know, they buck the trend, by the way, of what the NFL is. There's almost no motion in their offense. Everything is static. So it just proves you can win and you can play well offensively many different ways.
By the way, why was Arizona's because they're a team we've talked about this week is and I just don't know what to make of them. They were so dominant. What do you make of their defense? Was it just Chandler Jones being great? What did Arizona do?
Their defense, Colin, is a fascinating watch now. Now, the big issue will be at corner through the season. They're starting a rookie, Marco Wilson from Florida, and so that's a question as far as the corner position. But when you talk about their front group, they have what every coordinator would want. They have length and they have athleticism. And that's what their front seven is. Isaiah Simmons is now being used the way most people thought he would be, but struggled in his rookie season. Now, with a full offseason, he's playing multiple positions, filling multiple roles. The kid from Tulsa, Zaven Collins, he plays in the base, some in the nickel. Another kid, 6'4", 260. They have Watt, who's 6'5", 6'6". Jones, 6'5", 6'6". This is a defense with a ton of length.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some young quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, a lot of picks, a lot of TDs. Got, you know, let's be honest, they got way behind. That means he had to throw, and Houston knew he had to throw, which is never great for young quarterbacks. What did you make of Trevor?
Yeah, I actually thought he played pretty well. The last thing you want to do is have a rookie quarterback in his first start drop back over 50 times. And that's what he had to do because of the nature of the game. And the thing that stood out with him, and I thought with Zach Wilson as well, by the way, he didn't fall behind as much as Trevor did. But I thought the mental toughness, the resilience that they showed, the ability to stay with their mechanics, to stay firm in the pocket and deliver the football and make throws, I thought was really, really good. It's easy to look at the three interceptions. I don't think Lawrence's three interceptions, other than the last one, which was a head scratcher, but the others were not terrible. One was just an inaccurate throw on the move. The other, I thought he just didn't anticipate a corner dropping as deep in cover two as the corner dropped, because corners don't normally do that. But I thought Trevor made some really outstanding throws, showed pretty light feet in the pocket, which I was really interested to see, and I thought he did that well. Zach Lawrence, very much the same. I mean,
Zach
we know
Wilson,
he has light
yeah,
feet.
Yeah.
We know, yeah,
yeah.
Zach Wilson. Sorry, we know he has light feet. He's got a live, loose arm. We saw that. There was one play in particular where I really liked the way he manipulated the underneath coverage. It was a zone coverage, and he had to manipulate the underneath defender to get a clean throwing window. I thought he did that really, really well. So the traits are there for both those guys, and I would expect them to get better. Obviously, Jacksonville's in a tough spot because their defense is not very good.
Yeah, no, I think when I watched Zach Wilson, my takeaway was he has what I would call a plus arm. He has a special arm. He made a couple throws. You're like, all right, about 25 guys in the league are not going to make that throw. That was my takeaway on him.
Yeah, he's got I don't think he has a power arm like, let's say, a Matthew Stafford, but I think he has a live, loose arm.
Yeah. All right, let's go. I said this before you came on today. I said, Mac Jones is fascinating. If you go look last year at what Brian Flores and his defense allowed, they unraveled Goff. Mahomes had three picks. If you look at what Mac Jones did, and again, this is a game where you've got a couple of weeks to prepare. So Mac Jones' first start had significantly better numbers, completion percentage, yards passing, passer rating, no picks, than Flores allowed last year. I'm like, in a losing effort, Mac Jones was pretty darn good. That's what my eyes said. What did the tape say?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say there's a natural poise and calmness to the way he plays. He trusts his protection, which is really interesting given he was not under duress a whole lot in college. And he delivers versus pressure without speeding up his mechanics. And that's really important. And then the other part I'd speak to with Mac Jones is I think he showed efficient movement within the pocket. He has a good feel for pressure. He knows where it's coming from. And he knows how to get rid of the football and who to throw it to. And the other thing that I thought was fascinating, again, given that he was not under a lot of pressure in college, is he has an innate feel for what's pressure and what's not pressure in the NFL. Keep in mind, Colin, just having bodies around you in the NFL is not pressure. And Jones has an innate feel for understanding what pressure is and isn't at the NFL level.
Finally, we always do a big play. But before we do that, I just want to talk about Russell Wilson and Shane Caldron. He's got a new offensive coordinator. And I'm sure, you know, you and I have lamented this for the last couple years. Seattle is Jurassic and predictable and run on first down. It's like, oh, please give Russell something here. So he's got a new coordinator. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, Shane Waldron came from the Rams, and you saw a lot of the Rams' influence in the Seahawks' offense last week. You saw the condensed, reduced splits by the receivers closer to the formation. You saw jet sweep action. You saw play action, both conventional, where he dropped straight back, and play action boot. You saw the things we're used to seeing in the Rams' offense. And I think that will make Russell Wilson, and I know he's a great player, but it will make him a better player, believe it or not. It will make him a more structured, more disciplined player. And because there are times in the past where he's left the pocket when he doesn't need to leave the pocket.
Yeah.
And yeah, he'll make some great runs, but I think you'll see a more structured and disciplined player. And we can go to the play that we want to see this week, because that was a classic case of understanding the defense you're playing against. They were playing against the Colts. The Colts are a defense that plays a good percentage of what we call split safety, where there's two safeties on the back end. And they called a play to attack that. So here you're going to see Wilson in the shotgun. And it's a 2x2 set with Lockett to the top of the screen and Metcalf to the bottom of the screen. And what you're going to get here is a split safety coverage, just what I spoke about. And what they do here is they play what we call quarters to the wide side of the field and halves cover two to the boundary side of the field. Let's stay there. And we know in cover two, the corner does not run with a vertical route. That's on the safety. So what you get is Lockett now screaming at the safety. He's going to run a post corner post on the safety. Look at the other safety on the other side. You want to make sure that he does not impact this play. So you have DK Metcalf run a vertical route to occupy him. When that happens, look at Lockett now.
Wow.
Post corner post. You'll take Lockett, Colin, on a safety any day of the week running a vertical route. And there's the rainbow by Wilson. He's as good a deep ball thrower as there is in the NFL. And that was all designed. I'm not saying the throw was easy, but you can see the route right here. Look at Lockett, post corner post, eats up Kerry Willis. And just the design of the play set this up, and Wilson just laid it out beautifully.
How can they not score on every possession? I don't. Every time I watch her.
Well, that's what they said about the Titans, Colin, when they got Julio Jones.
Good seeing you, Greg Cosell. 42 years NFL film. Great stuff.
Thanks, Colin.
I love that. It's just so funny to watch the manipulation of that play. DK Metcalf runs vertical, so the other safety has to leave. You have to go cover DK. He's a total decoy on that play. It's all designed for one receiver on one safety. Everybody else a decoy, and it's like brilliant.
Greg's play of the day is my favorite. Someone asked me like who's their favorite guest, and I was like, I really like Greg Cosell coming on
because I always
get so
feel,
much information.
Well, I always feel I get smarter.
Yeah,
on my own. I mean, that play was literally Seahawks had 11 players. It was just two: Lockett, Wilson. Everything else a decoy. To set up that one matchup, that safety on Tyler Lockett.
Also, Tyler Lockett is
really good.
Really, really fast.
Really fast.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight, Thursday Night Football is on NFL Network as Saquon Barkley and the Giants take on Chase Young and Washington in an NFC East showdown. Tonight, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Only on NFL Network.
So here's my theory. After this game tonight, you will realize how good Justin Herbert is. Because you're going to watch what Washington is going to do to the Giants offense, discombobulate it. And after this game, you're going to go, oh, Justin Herbert picked it apart. You're going to watch this Washington defense tonight because it is special. And last week, it did not look special. Literally, Herbert... Rashawn Slater, left tackle, shut out Montez Sweat and Chase Young. Shut him out through a no-hitter. So I think you're going to – some. You ever watch a game and then you go, oh, that makes me think differently about a game I just watched?
Yeah.
Well, I think Washington is going to unravel the Giants' offense tonight. And I think what you're going to think about is, God, Herbert ate that thing up.
I think there'll be a couple games this week that we're like, oh, well – maybe we reacted a little too swiftly to that week one result.
Yeah, it is. Like, I think an interesting one is this. So, watch Mac Jones come out against the Jets this week. So, Robert Saleh is not Brian Flores yet, nor are the Jets the Miami defense. I think Patriots are going to win. The number's too bad. I'm not going to stay away from it. The number's too big. But it's like 6 points. I don't like the Jets getting six at home because I think Zach Wilson's kind of clever. But let's say New England comes out this weekend and kind of marches up and down the field. You're going to be like, so Mac Jones, first two starts, he completes 70% of his throws. So these games, it's one thing to see something. But when you see it in the NFL for a second or third week, now it's a trend. It's a reality. Like we always say, something's not true until it's true. You think, and all of a sudden, yeah, I think my wife loves me. And then I walk in, she's with a mailman. She doesn't love me. You know, I mean, nothing against mailmen. I mean, they're very kind people. Always in good shape, walk around for a living. But, like, something's not true until it's true. And so week two of the NFL, you're going to see some things and go, okay, this is what it is.
Right.
This is not overreaction. Like, and then my week three, that's really what it is.
Then it's a trend.
Yes. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo got the week one start for the Niners, but Trey Lance also got some playing time, which included throwing his first touchdown pass for San Francisco. And Jimmy G acknowledged it's not ideal to be sharing snaps with the rookie.
It's not.
We had a good drive, marched it down there. Kyle called the package, and, you know, he's the head coach, so whatever he calls goes. Just one of those things, you can only control what you can control. You know, I'm out there with my boys, making the best of it, having a good time. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're playing football, trying to get a win. So whatever it takes, but it is what it is, you know.
People forget injuries. So let's just say for the next 5-6 weeks, Jimmy G wins a lot of games. Because we talked about their schedule looks like they could go 6-1. I think somebody goes big and makes a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. People forget injuries when they get desperate at quarterback.
I mean, if I'm Washington.
That's exactly right. So the reality is with Jimmy G is there's this injury thing. But Carson Wentz, the Colts are well run. They're like, we're not. I mean, literally, the Colts, knowing Carson Wentz's injury history, get him. He gets hurt in camp.
Well, because talent is going to trump any kind of other thing you have.
It makes you forget the flaws.
Now, if he stays healthy, obviously. If he has another injury, it's going to be devastating.
Game changer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I feel for Jimmy G in this spot. I don't like this. I don't, but I am consistent with this throughout. I think the young guy should start right away. Yeah. I think if you have more than one quarterback, you have no quarterback. I get it that they're trying to ease Trey Lance in. He's very raw. He doesn't have the same experience of, say, a Justin Fields or a Trevor Lawrence or even a Zach Wilson in the last year. But you're going to – this is what's going to happen. Like, you're going to have, you know, some friction. They're probably well, it's you can hear in the way that Jimmy G is talking about it.
He doesn't like it.
He doesn't. I mean, anytime you say it is what it is, that is not an endorsement of the situation. If anyone ever asks you, oh, how do you feel about this? It is what it is. Like,
you're unhappy.
That is not a positive. It's not neutral either.
How's your marriage? It is what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, go hire a divorce attorney.
That's not a good situation. Well, you know, maybe you work through it. But in this situation, this is not. We know that there's an end of the road for San Francisco and Jimmy G, right? Or they wouldn't have taken Trey Lance. But I can feel Jimmy G, or I would understand him being frustrated with this situation, even if he had a positive outlook on it at the beginning of the season,
yeah.
Because it's hard to be put in that situation. And again, I think it's also difficult for the locker room, because eventually there's going to be some, you know, loyalties and some energy that's going to start trending towards Trey Lance, especially if Jimmy G has a couple bad games or anything like that. Like, it's just what's going to happen. We like new things, and Trey Lance is new, and he's exciting, and he's the future,
yeah.
No matter what way you look at it. They are favored by 3 against the Eagles this weekend, according to Fox Bet. I like the Niners there.
It's a 3-point. I thought it was 3.5. 3-point line, that's it?
On Fox Bet, 3, yeah.
So Niners -3 at Philadelphia. That's very interesting. Got an unhappy quarterback. Good luck.
Well, the Browns had a surprising halftime lead over the Chiefs in their season opener, but couldn't hold on to it. Lost 33-29.
Yeah.
Baker said his message to the team after the game was to feel this loss and let it motivate them.
You know, I think there's a fine line of walking, you know, of beating yourself up about it and then realizing there's 16 more. And I think we should beat ourselves up about it because, you know, we feel like we should have won that game, but there is 16 more. But this one should sting. This one should sting, and you need to learn from it because we had that game and we need to, you know, close it out.
I like that.
He is right. There is a...
Feel the pain.
There's a balance of feeling the pain of a loss and then resetting and realizing you have a long season ahead of you. And you've got the Texans next week, so what a perfect opponent following the Chiefs, which just wasn't a bad game for the Browns. Like, it's not like they got – it wasn't the Packers-Saints. Like, that's a respectable loss.
What you saw with Cleveland is the big question most people like me, not just me, have, is we know they're good. But are they good against good teams, big spots,
yeah.
Trail late, Baker make a play? I got my doubts. It's not about questioning Cleveland. I got them winning their division. I'm not worried about
that. Yeah, I do too. But, I mean, that's the standard for a good team. You have to win your division.
What are they favored this week by 13?
12.5.
Okay, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
Look at the teams favored by 12 or 13. I don't think the Steelers will be, and they're a good team, will be good, not great. They won't be favored by 13 in the game this year. Like, when you're favored by 13, people are saying, that's an elite team. You're a Super Bowl-level team.
That's a college line.
Yeah. That's a college line.
Yes.
USC just had to fire their coach, and they're only an 8-point favorite. I mean, they got all that talent. The point being is USC is a powerhouse that's not doing well. They're playing a crappy team this weekend. They're only favored by 8.
You're playing a team that put up what? What did the Texans put up? 35?
5 points,
yeah.
And you're favored by 2 touchdowns. So we all know, Vegas know, we know Cleveland's good.
Can they win in big spots against great teams?
Critical spots, critical plays by Mr. Mayfield.
So Mac Jones beat out Cam Newton and looked solid in his first start for the Patriots. Last week, Cam said that he felt bamboozled when the team released him. But after watching Jones's first start, former Patriot Brandon Merriweather has a different take on the situation.
I don't think Cam got bamboozled at all. I think Cam lost the battle. Like Mac Jones looked like the prototype Patriots quarterback. He looked like a young Tom Brady. When he missed them days, they actually got a chance to watch. They got a chance to watch Mac Jones, and people love what they see.
I think the what Cam was talking about specifically wasn't necessarily that he lost the quarterback battle to Mac, that he was feeling shocked that he was let go, that he wasn't made to be the backup. And we talk about it all the time that you don't want a backup that has a big name, because especially if you have a young guy, there's this looming energy over you. And if something goes wrong or he starts to play bad, then the fan base and sometimes the media, because they know who the backup is, will start calling for him. So that, I think, is what Cam was speaking about when he talked about being bamboozled. Not necessarily that he lost the starting job to Mac, because we know that Mac was the future of the Patriots regardless. Like, they drafted him in the first round. Obviously, they're going to move forward with Mac at some point.
Well, everybody looks at Instagram and all the social media as a plus. In the NFL, if you are a star quarterback, you need to be a star because you win a lot. That's why Russell Wilson's a star. It's not because he's the hippest or coolest. I mean, a lot of people joke that he's, you know, he's kind of can be kind of nerdy, right? Cam was more of a star because he was a star. So nobody wants that as a backup.
Well, he was winning early. Well, and as of late, it's not been the same.
Yeah, I mean, but he never had back-to-back winning seasons. So he had way more commercials than an average winning quarterback should have. That's Baker's issue. Baker's a star because of his commercials and his persona. He's not winning enough. His last 12 games, he's 7-5 with the coach of the year. The downside of the Instagram and the commercials is you become a star beyond your game, and people are willing to put up with stars if it's because you're winning a bunch of games. So Cam now is a bigger star than he is a good quarterback, and you're going to really struggle with teams to say, come on and be a backup. I think we all think Instagram and social media hits, it's all wonderful. I think there's a way to become a star in the NFL in the current ecosystem of how the league is run. And it's not on a shoe deal. It's are you just winning and hella productive? Yes. All right, we'll put up with everything else. I think once you're a star beyond like the quarterback thing, it feels like, well, that's not good for our young quarterback. Is that good for the room? Is that good for...
Well, everything has a price. So once you transcend, you know, past your game to your points, then people pay attention to you and scrutinize you more than they might not if you weren't in that space. So, I mean, I have no problem with people making money and doing commercials, of course.
That's fine.
I would do it. But, yeah, there's a price to that if your game slips in any way. Yeah. And I think that Cam will get a call within the next couple weeks to go to a team. He's just still too talented to not be in the NFL. Like, it's silly. It's just the backup quarterback situation is not ideal. But, like, Washington, if Ron Rivera wasn't there, I think he would be in Washington.
Yeah, he'd be in the running. I think we're going to...
He might still end up in... I mean, I don't believe it because it's Ron Rivera, but right. And he's already worked with him. But, I mean, at what point do you make a call on that? Like, we'll see tonight how Taylor Heinicke does, and they're on a short week, so obviously they're not going to make any aggressive moves. But I think it's more about the right spot, and I do think he's getting another opportunity. Also, we have a rule. No comparing anyone to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
No comparing anyone to Tom Brady. Can't do it. Mac Jones did say that he was watching film on the Jets Sunday night after losing to Miami, though.
Well, that's what quarterbacks should do. I'm not going to give him a ton
Brady-esque.
Of credit for that.
Watching film.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you guys are supposed to do. Like, say, you know, Joy, the minute she gets home, she goes to Google and looks up some sports stuff. Well, that's kind of what we do for a living. That's our little life. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Tom Brady is imperfect. I know it's hard to believe, but he said something yesterday, and I think he's actually wrong. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card into your first year automatically with no limit. Learn more, discover.com/yes. So Tom Brady has a podcast called Let's Go, and he was talking about how young all the quarterbacks in the NFL are getting. It's a very young, and Tom has noticed it.
There's a lot of rookies playing. It's pretty amazing. I don't remember this many young rookie players, even the second-year guys, Tua, Herbert, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Fields played a little bit, Trey Lance played a little bit, Zach Wilson's playing, Mac Jones is playing. That's a lot of young quarterbacks. So kind of gone are the days of Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. You know, those are the guys that I'm used to hearing. I'll be forgotten here soon enough. I'll move on and they'll be on to someone else. But that's just the way football goes, as does life.
So it was interesting. He said that yesterday. Joy and I talked about this. And I said, I thought to myself driving home, well, that's not true. NFL's always got like 9-10 young guys. They're just usually not very good. So we broke it down. Quarterbacks fall into three categories. Historically, young quarterbacks, first 3 years in the league. You're either a young quarterback. You make mistakes. We say lights just went on. Then there's the prime quarterbacks. You're in your prime. Year 4 to year 10. And then year 11 plus, you're an older quarterback. So right now, starting quarterbacks in the NFL, we have 9 young quarterbacks, 28%. Tua, Zach, Mac, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray. And they feel young. Now, Herbert doesn't play young, but that those are your young quarterbacks, 9. We have 16 or 17 guys who are in their prime. That's half the league. Year 4 to 10. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar, Russell, Tannehill, Wentz, Bridgewater, Mahomes, Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Taylor Heineke, believe it or not, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, Garoppolo. Your mistakes now are on you. Can't blame youth. You're in your athletic prime, and you got plenty of starts and plenty of practices. And then there's the aging quarterbacks. This is 11-plus, where the injuries last longer, and you've taken some hits. Ben, Brady, Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Tyrod Taylor, Matt Stafford. That is 19% of the league. So currently, 28% of the league is young guys. 50% of the league, half is guys in their prime. Those are the guys that usually have a chance to win Super Bowls. And then 19%, the old guys. So I think about you think to yourself, that's a lot of young guys. No, we went back 10 years. There were actually not 9, but 10 quarterbacks starting under 25 years of age. Here's what Tom was fooled by. Only one of those a decade ago had a quarterback rating that was better than the league average, Matt Stafford. 7 of the 11 young quarterbacks now are better than the league average. Last year, we had 11 quarterbacks under 25, 7 of 11 better than league average. So the numbers aren't changing. You get about 10 guys. Last year, this year, you average 10. You average 10 10 years ago. The difference is the guys are so good now that we talk about them more. So it feels like it's a younger league. It's not a younger league. It's always about 25 to 28%. It's about 10 guys. But the 10 guys now, what's happening is because of the Elite 11 camps, the personal coaches, the college schemes adopted by the NFL, that as long as you have at least more than 1 year of college starting, at least 2 years of college starting, you walk into this league, your prime starts in year 2. So what we're going to see going forward is your prime is going to be about, as long as you have at least 2 years starting, that Kyler only had 1 year starting. So Kyler now is popping year 3. If Kyler had 2 years starting in college, and he kind of started to pop last year. He probably pops last year. So if my take is the league is, it's not more young quarterback. They're just so damn good now that we talk about them all the time. And so we think it's a more, no, it's not. Half the league's in their prime, and there's almost 20% old guys. So 75% of the league is not young guys. They're all so good. Burrow's good. Kyler's good. I mean, Mahomes, MVP, first year starting. Lamar, MVP, first full year starting. Kyler looks like, to me, between the wiggle, the move, that's an MVP quarterback. Justin Herbert, honestly, was so good last week. You got to watch him. You'll watch him this week because they play the Cowboys. He's so good. I mean, he doesn't look anything like. Remember, as great as Elway was, he didn't win an MVP till year five. As great as Peyton Manning was, he was trash in year four. He won an MVP in year six. What you'll see going forward, prime for the kids who had 2 years starting in college will be year two, and because of nutrition and training, it'll go to year 12 to 13. So this league is in a great space. Quarterbacks are greater younger, and they're greater longer. That's why anybody that doubts football, a couple years ago, everybody talking about, football, moms don't want them to play. When the quarterback play is good, the league is great. Defy your age with M-Drive, supplement for driven men. Go to mdriveformen.com, 20% off. Put the code in H-E-R-D, hour three, next.